Recording has started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the subteam for trademark claims on the 14th of April, 2017. In the interest of time, there'll be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourselves be known now? Hearing no names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll kick it back over to you, Mary Wong. Please begin.
Thanks very much, Terry, and welcome, everyone. And for some of you, I note that this is your second sub-team call of the day, so thank you very much. We have not yet been joined by any of our three co-chairs who are members of all of our sub-teams. So far, we have two going, but we expect to have the third up and running shortly. So I don't know if any of them will be planning to join us. Just a reminder, as Terry has said, that like all working group calls, our sub-team calls are recorded and transcribed, and documents and the recordings are posted on the wiki page. For those who didn't know. And then I also wanted to note, again, for those who were on the earlier sub-team call for Sunrise, we did manage to come up with a plan for working forward and through the questions. It may be that this sub-team would want to adopt a similar or a different plan, but we have proposed that the sub-teams each begin with selecting a chair for the group or chairs if more than one person is interested in volunteering. So perhaps I can open it up to anyone who would like to volunteer or nominate someone else. Noting that since we don't have all sub-team members present, we can and will probably also take this question to the list. I don't see a huge rush of hands or mics open. So if it's okay with everyone, staff will continue to manage this call, but the first action item that we will take from this call is to go to the sub-team mailing list to ask for a volunteer or volunteers to chair this sub-team. And in that context, for those who are going to be listening to the recording or reading the transcript, the reminder here is that at the moment, the work of the sub-teams, as captured in a scoping document that was sent around a while ago, is for the sub-teams to at least initially do a couple of meetings to do a couple of initial things. First is to look at all the existing questions that we have in our charter to refine them for review by the full working group, and secondly, in that context, to prepare a mini work plan within the context of the larger working group work plan. The thinking there is that because the sub-team will have spent some time looking through all the questions and thinking about them, that the sub-team will be in a better position to have a sense of how long they think, you know, three questions might take or six questions might take, and bring that back to the working group. At this point, there has not been a consensus in the working group about whether the sub-teams would continue to work beyond that. I recall from the last meeting of the working group that this is something that will be decided at the time. And on that note, I welcome J. Scott Evans, one of the coaches of our working group, and Christine Dorain, who has a hand up. Christine?
Hi, thanks. This is Christine from Amazon. I have a couple of I guess, comments and suggestions. One is I would tentatively throw my hand up as a co-chair for this group. I know we're only going to meet a couple of times at this point, so that's fine. I just can't lead today. I have bronchitis, but I'm going to start coughing and come shortly. So I appreciate if you would you know, keep going, Mary. But my suggestion before I lose my voice completely is that I really like the idea of starting where we kind of left off on the earlier call and explaining to the people on this call sort of where we ended up, because I think it's a really good framework. I think we should propose that to these attendees and find out if a similar structure would make sense. So in that case, if we agree on that same structure, and we can agree that we're going to, you know, the homework that we're going to do and what's going to happen on the next call, then perhaps, and then Michael raised his hand also, so then maybe between Michael and I, we could sort of, you know, co-wrangle leadership going forward. But if you wouldn't mind taking the reins today as you are and sort of walking everybody through what the decision was earlier, I think that was a great, we ended up working out a great strategy, and I think the people on this call would probably agree that that's a great way forward. And I'll stop that.
Thanks very much, Christine, and we all hope that you're going to feel better very soon. So thank you for stepping up, and thank you, Michael, as well, for volunteering. Staff will work with the two of you offline to try and manage the process, noting, Michael, as you say, that we still have a couple of weeks to go, and we have work to get through, and then there's a bit of a question mark as to what happens after that. But thank you to both of you. Jay Scott, I'm happy to hand it over to you. I'm happy to keep going. Please let me know what you prefer.
Mary, it's I think, you know, given that your staff and you sort of took a pretty copious notes on what we came up with the last time in the last call, which was about an hour and a half, 2 hours ago, I'm pretty comfortable with you just giving that and setting that out, because I did not take notes and I don't have the benefit of having the agenda notes from the Connect room. So it'd be great if you could do that for us.
Not a problem, Jay Scott. And, of course, since we have people from the earlier call, obviously where there are things that I may mischaracterize or miss, please just jump in or raise your hand and let us all know. Essentially, the approach that the earlier sub-team on Sunrise agreed to was to have a form of document that could take the form of a Google document that would have all the questions from the charter listed as an initial pass, and each member of the sub-team would have a number of days from this call. In the earlier call, they agreed that the deadline or the initial deadline would be this coming Wednesday, by which they would review all the existing charter questions and send to the sub-team mailing list comments and suggestions, which staff would then capture in the Google Doc and circulate it to the whole sub-team just prior to the next call. The purpose of the next call would then be to work through that Google Doc, to review all the comments and suggestions that have been received, and to take that word forward. I think the other thing that might be helpful for the members of this sub-team to note is that one of the points that was made on the earlier call was to not take a whole lot of time wordsmithing. One observation was made that in the TMCH charter sub-team, that seemed to take up more time than people expected. So unless a question from that charter is really unclear and might need some rewording of some sort, the idea is to leave it as is, and perhaps with notes or footnotes to that question from the sub-team to the working group to try and add more clarity to that question or questions. So that may be something that, as we look through these trademark claims questions, may or may not work for this group, again, depending on the level of ambiguity or vagueness in any specific question. Then the last thing I'll say for now is that one takeaway from the earlier call was that we would definitely try to categorize or bundle the questions insofar as they can be bundled. So you may have two or three questions that deal with a similar issue, even if it's not asking the same question, we would bundle those together. And, of course, as part of that exercise, to the extent there's any duplication, we would note that as well. So hello, Phil. I welcome another of our co-chairs. And I'm going to stop there briefly for members of the other sub-team to add anything that I may have missed and to ask everyone on the sub-team if that approach is something you feel could work for us as well. Jay Scott, please go ahead.
Sure. Thanks, Kathy. Mary, I'm sorry. One of the things that I think we agreed on in the last call was what our output would be. And the idea is for us to batch these questions into groups that would be discussed on certain times within the work plan, and to eliminate any duplicative questions that are asking the same thing. So the idea is we'll go through, look at the questions, decide which ones sort of deserve to be batched and discussed together because they're interrelated, look at questions that might be duplicate and get rid of those that are duplicate or repetitive, and then to look at the overall work plan that the staff has put together for the entire working group and say, okay, on this day we're going to discuss questions 1, 2, 4, and 8 because they all relate to the wording of the notice or whatever. Also, another idea is for us to identify those questions we feel that we require additional information in order to answer, and where that information would come from, and giving that to staff and making sure that we discuss those questions at sort of the end of the process within the schedule so that there's time to collect the additional information.
Thanks very much, J. Scott. That's exactly right, and I think reflects the discussion on the last working group call as well. So thank you for adding that. Michael? Michael, if you're speaking, I don't think we can hear you. So either your mic is not activated or you might need to call into the bridge.
Okay. Can you hear me now? Mary?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. So this is on audio then. I love my computer. I just wanted to pipe in and say I think that plan sounds very good. It's really directed, gives us all something to do, and focuses it rather than just be a discussion. And my understanding is that our goal is basically to winnow these questions and sort of put our imprimatur on them so that bringing them back to the larger PDP group will be focusing on these questions and not be wandering around and wondering what questions are appropriate to ask or not. Is that correct?
Michael, I think that's exactly right. In other words, the work of this and the other sub-teams would be kind of like both a forward planning group as well as framing the discussion. So that's why if you look at the bullet points under the agenda, besides consolidation or deleting duplicative questions, it, as well as identifying any data that we might need, if there's any gaps, we can suggest those as well. That's not to say that in the course of the full working group discussion, we may not find that there are other things that we might need data for, or other topics or subtopics that might need to be addressed. But as an initial framing and scoping, I think that's exactly right.
Right. And just, again, it's Michael Graham. Just to clarify then, one important role I would think, and from what J. Scott was saying as well, will be to identify those questions who the discussion of which and answers to which really require additional information. Identify those, what information may be necessary, bring them back to the group and say, do you agree? And if that is the case, then the questions themselves probably would be, I mean, I guess I would suggest we put them on the side until that information can be gained. And then, as you were saying, come back to them towards the end so that we don't waste a lot of time with the argument of this is what I think and somebody asking, well, where's your proof?
Michael, this is Mary again. Yes, that's correct as well. The idea, obviously, is that if there are questions for which data is viewed as necessary, that that's something identified up front, and then we leave time for discussion of that. And I think one of the things that we said previously also is that for the sub-teams, if in identifying what data might be required for what question, you can identify sources as well. Those are things that the staff can help to the extent we can, or individual working group members, if they have the right contacts, can help us with reaching out to the sources earlier rather than later so that we would have the data in hand when the time comes.
Great,
and as Jay Scott has noted, in any event, you know, things will always go back to the full working group. So as an initial deliverable from our team and from the other sub-teams, just the list of refined questions, right, that goes back to the full working group, the order in which they'll be tackled, and the proposed timeline within the context of the overall work plan. So the idea is that if we can do as much as possible of this initial scoping over the next couple of weeks, we can take back as much as we can. Maybe we'll even have completed that initial scoping back to the full working group in a couple of weeks, and then we can, you know, discuss sort of next steps from there on out. Are there any questions or comments about the approach? It seems that, Michael, you said that sounds sensible. Christine, it sounds like you would support that approach as well. Thank you to both of you, Michael and Christine. And for those who are not on the earlier call, and Jay Scott as well, I hope that the explanation is sufficiently clear. And Susan, you support that notion as well. So in terms of an action item for staff, what we'll certainly do is start preparing the Google Doc. Then it would be up to members of this sub-team to spend the next few days looking at the existing questions and providing comments as to whether they should be bundled, whether they should be deleted, whether they're clear, they're not clear, and any other comments. That doesn't mean we can't go through them today as an initial pass either. Susan, please go ahead.
Thanks, Mary. It's Susan Payne. I just have a quick question for you. I'm just looking at the document in question. The section on the claims just only seems to have 5 questions. Is that right? Or am I looking at the wrong thing, the wrong section?
Susan, I don't think you're looking at the wrong thing. From this document, it does look like there are only 5 questions that are specific to claims. What I'll do with AMR as an action item immediately after this call is just to make sure that in fact is the case, because as you recall, that the list of questions from the charter is a very long one, and I think that there were also some questions that had initially been placed in one category based on how they were categorized when the comments came in, but then on reflection seemed more appropriate in a different category. So we'll redo that exercise as well just to be sure. I noticed that Rebecca saying in the chat that some of the general questions could be relevant as well, and I think that's probably applicable to all of the 3 sub-teams, that besides and maybe after looking at the specific questions that we have, that it would be worthwhile to look at the general or the additional questions from the charter, because some of them may be directly relevant and others may be relevant up at a certain point.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think also, I mean, I think some of the questions that we've been looking at in the context of the TMCH are sort of phrased along the lines of, you know, does the TMCH and the RPMs that flow from it or the RPMs that it supports do the following? And it seems to me that they potentially are also relevant, albeit that we clearly don't want to spend all our time rediscussing things that we've already covered, but to the extent that we maybe didn't cover stuff because we said, well, that's a conversation about the actual RPM rather than the TMCH, I think we need to make sure we capture it.
Thanks, Susan. Yes, and staff has made a list of, I think it might be 2 or 3 questions from the TMCH discussion that the group agreed to hold over until we had, as a group, reviewed the Sunrise and claims. And you're right that we probably need to bring that up at the appropriate time for each of them as well. So we're really looking at I guess, 3 categories of questions, starting with the most specific ones, then looking at the general additional ones in the charter to see whether and how those might be relevant in some way, and then circling back to the ones that were held over from the TMCH. Christine, go ahead.
Hi, thanks. Christine again, Amazon. I wanted to just, as we think about our homework and we figure out how we're going to approach this and you create the Google Docs, I think if each person goes through and reviews these questions, I think it's more than just, oh, I think questions 1 and 2 should be grouped together. I mean, I think you do need all individually so that we can come together and discuss the collective viewpoint. We need to take each individual question and compare it to the general questions as well. So should the trademark claims period be extended beyond 90 days? And of course, general questions will always apply. But as I'm looking through the general questions list, I'm thinking about, you know, do the RPMs need to, you know, is there need for internationalization? Does that really affect the 90-day thing? My personal view at this point, maybe not so much. But what about number 2? Do the RPMs adequately address registrant protection? So I think as to the extent that we're going through and doing the homework, the more effort we can put into sort of synthesizing these questions, rather than reviewing everything as sort of a linear question by question, yes or no answer, I think it'll really feed into our discussion next week about, you know, sort of how we envision looking at the questions as a whole, which will lead into the development of the mini work plan. So we'll know, wow, question, I'm just going to say, whatever, 4. That seems like it's really going to be meaty and it's got 3 general questions really heavily linked to it. We need to give more time for that. Then I don't even know, like question 5 or something. So I think to the extent that people are going through and making their comments in the Google Doc, if you can be mindful about bringing in some of this other information, that I think that would be really helpful. And I fully support Mary pulling in some of those questions that we've identified that need to be brought into the subteams and added to these lists. So I appreciate it if you could add that to the Google Doc as well. I don't know if that needs to be a separate category or not. Thanks.
Thanks, Christine, and that seems to make sense. I mean, certainly at the very least of having folks have one place to look at all the questions, it occurs to me, and since you and a number of other people are members of the other Sunrise subteam, that this is also something that we can bring back to that subteam. It may have been implicit in the earlier discussion, but it probably doesn't hurt to make it express, obviously with Lori, who's chairing that group, in the loop and with her agreement as well. So I think we do have our homework for staff, and it seems that there's no objection at least to members of the subteam taking the next few days to look at all the questions and coming back to the mailing list with comments and so forth. And then we'll, of course, as staff, put all that in the document. So my question for everyone on this call, since you've all taken the time and trouble to get on the call, is whether you would like to at least start working through the questions now so that we can take the notes and we can incorporate whatever your discussion is today into the Google Doc for next week. Christine?
Thanks, Christine, again, from Amazon. Can I ask that, I mean, if everybody's willing to stay on the call for 15 more minutes, can I ask that you, since my voice is not going to hold out, read each question, and then, because there may be, I don't know if there's anyone on the phone or not, but, and then if he has any questions to them about what the question means, we could have a little short discussion just to make sure that we all kind of have in our head what the question is about. This is coming back around from the conversation we had this morning about whether or not it's useful to get context. So I think if we quick run through the questions, make sure everybody feels comfortable that they understand the context without having a debate about the substance. You know, if we can kind of get a sense of the context, that'll allow us to, I think, make sure that we can dive into the homework easier, if that's okay with you. Excuse me, Mary.
Not at all, Christine, and thank you for speaking despite your being ill. I would say from the staff perspective, that makes a lot of sense. And I would just note in relation to your comment about the historical context that we had discussed in the Sunrise team, and because this came up with the TMCH charter questions early on as well, that because all of these charter questions came from public comments to prior papers and projects, it's not always clear just looking at the question itself whether that's something that has been identified as an issue over a period of time and is a concern that's shared by multiple stakeholders, or is it something that was identified as a one-off but by a single commentator. So that's related in some ways to whether that is viewed as a question that ought to continue to be discussed by the working group. So to the extent that you have any thoughts about the need for staff to go back and look at essentially the origin as well as the context within which these questions arose, we're happy to do that and to put that in the document as well. So, Christine, on that note, and Michael, I can start with looking through the questions, and I would imagine that they may raise at least a little bit of discussion or comment just today as well. So the first question, and I'm looking at the specific category, in other words, the questions that are very clearly related to the question of a claims notice. The question one is, and as Christine has noted on page 2 of the PDF document where we have all the Sunrise and claims as well as general questions listed, that first question is, should the trademark claims period be extended beyond 90 days? Do we have any comments on that question? Not so much to resolve it, but as to whether that needs to be explained further and so forth. And Christine and Susan say it looks fine, seems pretty straightforward. That would seem to be my take as well. So we're looking at a 90 days mandatory trademark claims period under the current RPM regime, and the question clearly is asking whether this should stay the way it is or should it be extended, presumably meaning should it go longer? And as we think through this question, then there may be other, I guess, subtopics within that. Should it be shorter, for example? Is it something that should be standard across all types of GTLDs and et cetera? And Michael, I noticed you've asked in the chat whether there should be follow-up questions. I think that if this group feels that the follow-up questions are natural follow-ons or variations, then absolutely that should be brought up. Michael, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for reading that. I just realized I could jump on the phone as well. But, yeah, I think that would be useful in reviewing these questions for us to provide if we believe that there are follow-ups. And I suggested two of them for this first question. It's sort of a yes-no answer on it, but then according to that answer, there's a further question, which is how long or how short, or, you know, there could be others. And I think we as a working group will really provide a service to the group as a whole if we can identify those at this point. And that would, you know, opening the discussion of what other questions might be asked when we go to the full group. And also, we would be able to provide direction for those conversations, I think.
Thanks very much, Michael. And if I may, I'll just say from the staff perspective of having supported a number of different types of groups and subteams, that would generally, I think, be very useful. And so if this subteam, again, in reviewing the questions, come up with additional ones or sub-questions or follow-up questions, my suggestion would be that for now, as they occur to us, we would just suggest them. We can stick them all in the document so that when you guys come to do the first or second pass at it, you might decide that some are superfluous or some could be further refined and so forth. And as Christine notes in the chat, follow-up questions would also be important for determining the timeline, and that's absolutely right, because again, the second deliverable from this group is a proposed mini timeline and work plan for getting through all the final list of questions we're going to be proposing. Michael?
Sorry, it's old hand.
No worries. And the good thing about having a small group is that there's usually not as much confusion. You've got six people in a row who didn't lower their hand, which sometimes happens. So perhaps we could just take a moment and looking at this question one. Michael's already suggested two follow-up questions, and you know, I was just thinking through that as to whether or not you want a standardized trademark claims period for all types of GTLDs, that might be another type of question that belongs here as well. Scott Austin has typed in the chat asking, could there be a middle ground and the procedure would permit a request for a 30-day extension similar to the Trademark Trial and Appeal Board or the U.S. TTAB's extension request for filing a notice of opposition? Scott, I don't know if you're able to speak, but if you either are on the bridge or you have your mic activated, would you like to speak to that suggestion?
Sure. I'll just say a few words. I mean, I have not been as actively involved as I'd like to be because of business, but it just seems to me that there's a reticence to extend something on a mandatory basis for without more support, perhaps, but maybe give the option that an extension could be granted. And some of those extensions in the TTAB practice are based on a showing of cause. Some are just initially granted without cause for example, an initial 30-day extension. And obviously, it doesn't start with 90 days as you have here, but. I'm just suggesting perhaps there would be an interest in a middle ground of allowing an extension rather than changing the time frame that we have now. It may be that trademark owners are busy, they missed it, and they didn't have the time to attend to it because of other matters within the initial 90-day provision, but yet they want to signal that it's something they need to further investigate, which is one of the bases under the TTAB extension request, is the need for time to discuss with counsel or the night, and there's a number of other factors to investigate the claim, et cetera. And I'm not suggesting that you would necessarily have to have the same point-for-point bases for an extension, but there is that kind of a procedure that exists, and we have an analog, so I just thought that I'd raise it and see if anyone else had an interest.
Thanks very much, Scott, and thanks for participating on this team and in the working group. I suppose, as Christine has pointed out in the chat, what we have as the RPMs, that they're basically minimum mandatory services that all registries have to offer, and individual registries can extend for as much or as long as they wish. I suppose the difference in what you've noted is that maybe that could be an option coming from the trademark owner. That may be something to come back to in the discussion, as I think Griffin and Michael are noting. It may be something that we can put in a comments tab for the Google Doc for further and future consideration. Can we go to Christine and then Phil?
I was just going to echo Michael and Griffin and just get it on the transcript as well as the chat. But Scott, thanks. That's a great suggestion. Let's make sure that we capture those independently and get those on the Google Docs. Today, I'm really hoping that we'll spend the next 20 minutes going through the questions and just making sure that we kind of understand the basis for the question. So I think for number one, I didn't think we had any additional, you know, sort of like questions about it. It seemed pretty straightforward. We've come up with a few follow-up questions, which is great. Keep them coming. Number two, though, for instance, just to demonstrate, I have a question on number two, is should the trademark claims period continue to apply to all new GTLDs? So I have a question that perhaps staff could research, which is, I'm sorry for gasping, what does continue to apply mean? Is this question meaning that they should make the trademark claims be sort of persistent and retroactive to all new GTLDs henceforth and forevermore, and retroactive to anyone who no longer has, whose trademark claims period has already expired? Or are we talking about subsequent rounds? I'm not entirely sure what that question means. I would love to get a little bit more context on that. And that's sort of what I'm hoping to spend the next 20 minutes looking at, is not like the substance or coming up with ideas as much as making sure that we all understand what the questions are so we can properly bucket them. Thanks.
Thanks, Christine. So that might call for some contextual research, as you note. Why don't we go to Phil and then move on to question two? As I said earlier, I think we should just start throwing out thoughts and questions now that we're all captured, because obviously we'll take a pass through this again. Phil?
Yeah, thanks. Phil, for the record, a couple of random thoughts here. One, questions one, two, and five are all kind of related in that they are all on a general topic of the applicability and scope of the trademark claims RPM, and you can't figure that out unless you look at the actual operation of the claims notices up to now and their effect on both potentially infringing and non-infringing registrations. Second, we have some discussion. I don't think we reached any agreement. John Nevitt had brought up the fact that originally registry operators were going to be able to choose between offering a sunrise period or a trademark claims process, and then after GAC intervention, it became mandatory to offer both. So that's really wrapped up in this. The 90 days, we go shorter, we go longer. I think we have to be more precise. In one sense, the trademark claims extends for as long as the term is registered in the trademark clearinghouse, and that there's a 90-day period from the start of general availability where registrants get a notice if they begin registration of a term that's an exact match of a trademark in the database that they may be in trouble if they continue. We'll be looking at the language of that, I'm not sure of any question below here on the language, but I think we have to look at the language and whether that's giving clear understanding to potential registrants. But there's an unlimited time past the 90 days where the a potential registrant no longer gets that claims notice generated before proceeding with registration, but the trademark owner gets notice if the registration is completed. So we need to be a little more precise there. And finally, in regard to a potential process for a trademark owner to ask for an extension beyond the 90-day period or whatever period we wind up with at the end of this exercise, I'm not trying to answer the question. I don't think we should be specific now about the standards, but anything that becomes discretionary in this and not required, it's going to require us to go on and say, okay, well, if there's such a request, who's going to consider the request? Is it going to be the registry operator or some neutral third party? What criteria should they be required to look at? So the moment you get into anything discretionary rather than required, you open up a lot of other questions, and then we just should recognize that. Doesn't mean we shouldn't do it, but we should be careful about doing it because once you say yes, there should be some process, then you have to design the process. That's it. Thank you.
Not at all. Thanks, Phil. And before I go to Susan, maybe just let me try to recap, because, Phil, you did make a few very concrete suggestions that I think there's some agreement in the chat that we should try and capture. And I think one of the first things you noted is that perhaps questions 1, 2, and 5 in the specific questions category that we're looking at on page 2 could be bunched together. And another point that you made was whether or not the working group, I would assume, would want to review at the appropriate time this question of Sunrise or claims versus Sunrise and claims. And then you made a couple of other points as well, one about possibly rephrasing question one about the duration of the trademark claim service, and I think there was some agreement in the chat that we might need to be more precise about that. And the one of the other concrete notes that you pointed out, and I think Griffin in the chat had a similar question, was whether in talking about the trademark claim service or the trademark claims period, we're talking about both the claims notice that's sent to a prospective registrant as well as the notice of registered name that's sent to the trademark owner if that registration goes forward. I will say that from the staff perspective, we had assumed it would cover both because both are part of the trademark claim service, even though one comes through a registrar and one comes through a registry. So at this point, hopefully that captures most, if not all, of your concrete suggestions, Phil, and your note about when we come to discuss the optional issue as well. Susan, I think you had your hand up.
And
you
also Mary, just to reply, I think that captures it, and I think just want to note that question three about potential chilling effect on genuine registrations, which I take to mean non-infringing registrations, would allow us to look at the language, the current language that's of the claims notice that the potential registrant gets, and see whether we think it's clear and adequate to communication. That's it. Thank you.
Thanks very much. So I'm going to go to Susan, who I think has a few comments, and then to Michael.
Thanks, Mary. Yes, it's Susan Payne here. Yeah, just I do have a couple of things to comment on. I would say that as far as I'm concerned, and it had always been my assumption that when we're talking about trademark claims in this context and in terms of reviewing the RPMs, that we would be looking at the trademark claims process altogether, so the notices to potential registrants and the notices that go to the trademark owner after the event. I think that to me that's completely implicit. But I did want to pick up on something that you mentioned, Phil, about the trademark owner getting notices beyond the 90 days. It is true that the trademark owner can opt in to receive ongoing notices from the Trademark Clearinghouse if they would like to do so. But it is not, that is a voluntary service, if you like, that the Trademark Clearinghouse introduced. It isn't something that was mandated in the RPM requirements. I don't think anyone, I don't see a problem with what's effectively an ongoing watch service, particularly myself. I suppose, perhaps it's something which is also in scope to consider. I don't have strong views on it, but it isn't something that's mandated. So the mandatory period is currently the 90 days where you get the notice that goes to a registrant when they attempt to register. And if they proceed with their registration, the notice that goes to the trademark owner after the event. And then since I've got the mic and since we have been jumping around a bit on the question numbers, it seems to me, and we've all been talking about every single number but number four, and I'm just reading it here on the document, it seems to me like number four might be in the wrong place because it doesn't talk about the claims at all. It mentions the Sunrise. So just lobbing that one out there for people to think about.
Thanks very much, Susan. And just to note that on your pointing out the ongoing claim service, and I forget the actual name for it, as you note, that's something that's voluntary or optional. That's something that's offered by the Trademark Clearinghouse. So in a sense, that's quite distinct from the minimum mandatory ICANN RPMs that we're reviewing. And I'll just note for that, based on some discussions the full working group had in Copenhagen, is that that indeed is actually the ancillary service that so far has been approved by ICANN under our contract with Deloitte to offer. Michael?
Well, two quick things. One is jumping ahead to three, but going back to the point you were just making, I think that would be perhaps subject to a separate question developed from this conversation as to the desirability of continuing or expanding the offering of that continuing monitoring and notice service to trademark owners who have registered with the TMCH. I'll just put that out there. But going back to three, Phil mentioned it, and a hot point for me in that question is understanding, and perhaps this is something that staff could answer from a historical context, what is meant by a, quote, genuine registration, end quote.
Hi, Michael. This is Mary from staff again, and I'm not sure that I would have a authoritative answer for you. As Phil noted, that seems to refer to non-infringing registrations. In other contexts, people have referred to legitimate registrants or legitimate registrations. So I would say that there's no consistent usage. What we might want to do on this sub-team is agree on what we think it means and either rephrase it or present it as such to the full working group.
This is Michael again, although my hand isn't up. I think that would be a good thing to do, and my suggestion would be to adopt a more clear nomenclature, terminology for what it is that we're referring to. Genuine registrations really requires context, and it is not transparent what that means. So I think that would be something that we should address, at least in our comments. I am interested if that means registrations that are not infringing. That's sort of an analytical determination that doesn't help us in going forward with the discussion. If it means, you know, good faith applications for domain name registrations, not based on, you know, and this is getting quite long, not based on a desire to infringe and not infringing a registered trademark registered with the TMCH, I think we ought to use that language rather than genuine registration. I think that's just way too confusing, even within our group. And then when we expand it to the full group and then expand it to GNSO, I think we're just inviting continued discussion. And as Amar noted in a quick message to me, I was involved with the policy and implementation team when we sat down and took about a month to define the terms so that when we use them, everyone will understand what we mean. And I think that's something we should do with this genuine registration. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Michael. And I noticed that Phil has suggested in the chat that instead of saying genuine registration, we could rephrase this to say good faith registration, which Christine supports. And I see that, Phil, you've got your hand up next.
Yeah, just to expand on that a bit, it was pointed out the other day by Paul McGrady that even the term non-infringing and infringing isn't quite technically correct because we're really focused here on cyber squatting and not every potential type of trademark infringement that could occur through the use of a domain, some of which are way outside the scope of ICANN remedies, and that, you know, a cyber squatting might be infringement or it might not be, depending on other factors. I think generally we should try to relate these RPMs to the UDRP and URS, and since they require a complainant to prove not just lack of legitimate rights by the registrant in the domain name, but also to prove the elements of bad faith registration and use. I think if we say good faith registration, that refers to a registration where the registrant does not have an intent to go on and use the domain in bad faith by through cyber squatting or other infringement, and that's a pretty clear term and relates directly to a term in the UDRP. So it kind of ties all these RPMs together. I think they should be as consistent as possible. And that was the reason I suggested. Thank you.
Thank you. And when I saw you type good faith, if I may just make a comment here, I actually did think that you were using that kind of in contradistinction to the bad faith in the UDRP within the context of domain names and cyber squatting. I see that Christine supports the concept. Michael has a question, and actually, Michael, I think you put your hand down. There's some discussion about the good faith concept. What I suggest is that we obviously will keep the original questions in the Google Doc, but we will try and capture as much as possible in a separate column, let's say, or separate tab, some of the discussion and suggestions that we've had, both for rephrasing, such as in this question, as well as for bundling of certain questions together. I guess for that, I think we note that there's been two separate suggestions received without necessarily, you know, making a decision either way today. Then on that, I would also note that when Susan raised question four as to whether it actually belongs in a trademark claims discussion, Phil had noted in the chat that this seems more related to a question that we had started to discuss as part of the overall TMCH review, and that for that particular question, the group had agreed to defer further deliberations until we had completed the review of Sunrise and claims. So I think one question for this sub-team is when we look at question four, whether that is something that we agree with, and then that should then be our recommendation. There's some additional discussion in the chat, and I'm going to start with Christine's suggestion as the voiceless co-chair. You've been doing very well, Christine, but yes, please take care of that voice. We should probably summarize the homework and plan for our next call. And with 5 minutes to go, I am going to suggest that we do that, noting that there's some agreement about the need for clarification and rephrasing as well as suggesting of follow-up questions. And I would think that that is part of the homework for this group before the next call. So if we go back to how we preliminarily agreed we would do this, I think we agreed that staff will start to prepare a document and that over the course of the next few days, bearing in mind the discussion that we've taken place, all sub-team members should review the questions in the charter, including the general questions, and come back to the mailing list for the sub-team with suggestions and comments. And those suggestions and comments could be for rephrasing, could be for bundling, could be for gap filling, could be for identifying the need for data. And in relation to a question like question four, it could be this is not within our remit. It should go to some other group, for example. And then staff will capture all of that in a Google document that we'll send out to everyone before the next call, where I think we can start working through all those questions and suggestions so far. And hopefully by then, Christine, you'll have recovered your voice, and Michael, you might free up a little more than you are. So the question then we would have about homework for everyone is how much time would be appropriate, bearing in mind your respective schedules as well as the need to get back to the working group with as much as we can do within 2 weeks. And the related question to that is, when would you like to have the next meeting? We do have the ability to have the next meeting on Wednesday during the time of the working group call, which I think would be around 16 or maybe 1700 UTC, or we could keep to a Friday, either this time or some other time. So Thanks, Jay Scott. I know that you need to sign off. Thank you for joining this call as well. And so two questions for the sub-team. How much time do you think realistically you would need to at least think a little bit about these questions? And secondly, when would you like your next call to be? And Christine, you're saying Friday is good for you. We can do a 60-minute call at the same time next Friday. Griffin supports, as does Beth and Michael. So, and Susan as well. So it does look like there's quite a few people on this call that would prefer to keep it to this time next Friday for 60 minutes. And I'm going to ask those who haven't spoken or typed if you have any concerns or objections. It doesn't look like it. So what we will do, of course, is when we take these notes and action items to the sub-team mailing list, we will note that that is more likely than not going to be the time and duration of the next call. But, you know, anyone who is on the team but not on the mailing list, if they have concerns, then we would ask that they voice those as soon as possible. So we'll do that. And then Phil, as the only co-chair that's on this call, I note that this might mean that we would need to move the co-chairs and staff prep call, and we'll come back to you, Jay Scott, and Kathy separately on that. So when
Mary, on that, this is Phil. I'm not going to be able to join any calls next Friday because of a family event in New York. So just putting that on the record, you know, and so work around me for next Friday.
Understood, Phil. Thank you very much for letting us know. And so if we're going to meet next Friday at this time for 60 minutes, Michael, your question is the natural follow-up. Can we then agree that any comments and suggestions that sub-team members will have be sent to the full mailing list of the sub-team, not necessarily of the working group, by close of business Wednesday? Then that will give staff some time to try and put them in and send it all to you before Friday. And, of course, I think what I would note is that that doesn't mean that we won't take any suggestions after next Wednesday. It would just be nice to have some additional food for thought to work through for next Friday. Everyone's so amenable today. That's lovely. So on that note, we've reached the top of the hour. It looks like our homework's quite clear, our timeline for next week and the next call. Christine, I think there's more chocolate in your house than in mine at the moment. But on that note, thank you to everybody for joining. Staff will follow up with the sub-team mailing list on action items and so forth. And for those who are having extra days off or celebrating this holiday, have a good one, and we'll talk to you all soon. Thank you very much.
Bye now.
Thank you. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned.